Mary was sitting at home on a quiet Saturday when she got a phone call that no one would want to get. Her mother, who was sick, told her that she thought she had only days to live and that if she wanted to see her mother again, she had better get on a plane soon. As you can imagine, all sorts of fear, sadness, and panic was raging through Mary's body after this phone call. On top of being told that her mother was about to die, Mary also had PTSD about traveling. And though she hadn't been on a plane in years, suddenly she had to get on one ASAP, and in such circumstances. Fortunately, Mary was also a student in my Own Your Intuition program at the time. As such, she had already learned to tell the difference between the wisdom of her intuition and the ideas of her fearful mind. On today's episode, find out how Mary's intuition helped her navigate this stressful time, what she actually did after she received this phone call that no one would want to get, and if she saw her mother again. I'll also tell you a story from my own life where fear loomed large. We'll talk about how to discern the voice of your intuition from your other, especially fearful thoughts, and what steps you can take when fear rears its ugly, grotesque head. All on today's Own Your Intuition show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Welcome. Today we are continuing our series on busting the myths that holds you back from trusting your inner knowing. Specifically, we are looking at those moments when you believe the frightening story in your head and or can't tell if it's really your intuition trying to warn you or not. Before we begin, I want to tell you that if you're curious about your intuition and what you can expect from your intuition, so that you can recognize it when it's speaking to you, I'll be talking about demystifying your intuition soon via Zoom at the East-West Center for Self-Realization, Tuesday, August 30th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. If you'd like to join, you can register on the eastwestbookshop.com website. I'll leave this information in the show notes as well. On March 5th, Mary was sitting in her home in Minneapolis, Minnesota, watching television when she got a call from her mother, Phyllis, who was wintering in West Palm Beach, Florida. Mary told me, "My mother's voice sounded shaky and weak, and I could tell that she was upset. Her mom kept saying that there were some things she needed to tell Mary and her kids." Mary was responding, "Sure, Mom, that sounds fine. We can discuss these things when you get home to Minnesota in April." To which her mother responded, "I don't think there is time." Mary went on full alert to this news. "What are you saying, Mom? Are you telling me that you think you're dying?" "Yes," her mother responded. "How soon do you think this is going to happen?" she asked her mom. "In a matter of days," her mother responded. Mary's mom, Phyllis, was 87 and had leukemia. The doctor had told her that she was going to die of something else before she died of leukemia because it was a slow-moving disease. Of late, her pancreas had been swelling and not functioning properly. It had started to eat her white blood, her platelets. So she became severely anemic and was having to have blood transfusions. Mary described to me that when your platelets get so low, you have a heart attack and die. And there's bruising, too. You could bump your leg and bleed out. When Phyllis called her on March 5th because of her platelet count, she felt that this could happen at any time. She was worried she wouldn't have enough time to speak to her children and grandchildren. Mary told me, "When I hung up the phone, I was overcome with panic. I was freaked out because my mom is telling me she's going to die. And I'm panicking now because I'm also realizing that I have to get on a flight and soon." Mary had PTSD about flying because of a previous experience, and she hadn't gotten on a flight in years. She said, "I'm standing there thinking it all through. I have my dogs to house and my own fear and anxiety on top of this fear and sadness about my mother. And I'm worried I might not even make it in time, that my mom might die before I get there, and I might never see her again." "Then," she said, "it was like a switch flipped, and I remembered what we had been studying in class." During this time of this happening, Mary was a student in my Own Your Intuition program. As she relayed this story to our class, she told us how, in that moment, in that panicked, frightening moment, she remembered what she had learned. One, that her intuition, or her inner knowing, as I sometimes call it, would not ever give her information through fear. Specifically, in this case, it would not ever try to scare her into action with frightening what-if scenarios. By the way, that is not ever the voice of your inner knowing. That is the voice of your mammal brain doing what it does. In our class, she had also learned a few practices she could use to discern the truth about the situation. It was a Saturday when she got the call from her mom. She had to find care for her dogs. The kennel wasn't open to call, but she assessed that she could probably get her dogs housed and get a flight by Monday. But would she make it in time? In that moment, when the switch flipped, as she described it, she told herself, "You need to settle down. You need to figure out if this is real, that mom is going to die before you get there." So she concentrated on her breathing and calmed down. She used several of the tools that I taught her for clearing her energy and creating psychic space for herself and connecting with her own wise knowing. Then she, from a calm place, allowed herself to think the thought, "My mom is going to die within 3 days." When she thought that thought, she described to us how she felt this suffocating, closed feeling. Because of all the work we had done in class, learning to use our inner knowing, she knew right away that the presence of this suffocating and closing feeling indicated that the thought was not true. That therefore, she would make it to Florida in time to see her mom. A true thought will open you. You will feel the opening in your body or feel relief in your bones, even if it's not the answer or situation you desire. She told us, "I got instant relief from realizing that the thought wasn't true. It helped me know also, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to make it to Florida before anything happens. I will see my mom again. She described that it gave her the calming she needed to get on the plane and move forward. As I taught Mary, and I've taught many others for years, your intuition does not speak fear-ease. It will never speak to you in a fearful tone, describing terrible things that may happen if you do or don't take an action, as in the case of Mary's situation. Practically speaking, one of the many ways that I teach my students how to use their own inner knowing to discern the truth is by teaching one class on the work of Zen Crier DeBrook. She has a wonderful book called Your Inner GPS, Following Your Internal Guidance to Optimal Health, Happiness, and Satisfaction, which I highly recommend. One of the things that Zen details so beautiful and succinctly in her work is how your inner knowing is constantly reacting to your thoughts. It tells you, through closing feelings, or feelings like worry, stress, anxiety, fear, frustration, and overwhelm, that what you are thinking is not true and not going to happen. If you think on that, it's pretty mind-blowing, and not at all what we've been taught those feelings are about. But that's a topic for another show. In the meantime, I highly recommend checking out the work of Zen and her book. I'll put a link to it in my show notes. What happened with Mary and her mother? She made it to Florida in time. Her mom went into hospice during that trip, but Mary got to see her and spend time with her. In fact, Mary's mom got the care she needed to eventually make it back to Minnesota. Phyllis died peacefully in her sleep on May 28th at the age of 87, and having had the time she needed to say what she needed to her family and loved ones. Mary's intuition, and more specifically, not being tricked by the fearful thoughts in her mind, helped Mary through this moment. She told us in class, "I am so grateful I did this work with you. I would do this class 10 times over for that moment and a few more that were so impactful to me, just beyond words." Your intuition is good for dealing with the situation that life throws at you, whatever those are. You are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. I'm your host, psychic and author, Aimée Cartier. And today we are continuing our series on busting the myths that hold you back from trusting your inner knowing. Specifically, today we are looking at those moments when you erroneously believe that fearful "what if" story in your head is your intuition speaking to you. Let me tell you another story that happened to me. Many years ago, a friend of mine was considering hosting a dance/movement workshop on her property, and she asked me if I would be willing to be a part of it as the resident psychic. Though the foundation of the workshop would be this movement practice, she wanted to tie it with the theme of intuition, and she asked if I would be willing to do readings for all the participants and talk about intuition. As soon as she asked me, the knowing came clear and definite. It was a resounding, "Yes, that would be perfect. I'd be happy to." When she initially approached me, I don't think I knew at the time that I would be debuting my Getting Answers process at the workshop, the one I detail in my book, Getting Answers: Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I did, however, have this solid, peaceful clarity that teaching this workshop was absolutely a good idea for me. As I prepared what I would teach, I felt no fear at all, only mounting excitement at the prospect of teaching for the first time what would end up being a cornerstone of my teaching for many years to come. The morning of the workshop, I woke to a cool, misty spring northwest morning. As I came awake, I realized that today was the day. In less than 2 hours, I would be sitting in front of a group of 20 or so participants doing readings for each of them, in front of everyone else. As soon as I had this thought, my pulse began to race. I felt shaky and ungrounded. I was so scared. I had already planned to get up early and have time to meditate and exercise prior to my showtime at the workshop. This took on a whole new intensity that morning as I felt the grip of anxiety rushing through my body. Hopefully, my morning run will ground me, I thought to myself. Even pounding down the road in my running shoes did absolutely zero to ease my nerves. I still felt totally unglued as I took my shower and got ready to meet the group. I couldn't really identify any specific scary thoughts that I was having. I wasn't afraid of doing readings. I had been doing them for years. My process before readings, then and still now, involves tuning into the highest good and always asking at the onset of each reading that whatever be revealed be for my client's highest good. I understood that the highest good would not reveal to me details that were best given to my client in private when we were sitting in front of a group of others. I think I was just petrified because I had never done any of it this way before. I had never done readings in front of a group while my friend was counting on me, nor had I ever taught the getting answers process. My body was alerting me with its fears that I was entering into completely unknown territory. Would I screw up? Would people just not get it? Would the understandings that I had deemed so worthy feel valueless to other people? I didn't know. When I look back on it, it seems like it was just the possibility that I might royally fail in front of the 20 or so people who were attending the weekend that was hanging over my head. Without any specific words, that fear had me actually shaking. The workshop began. After a bit of warm-up movement, in which I was still internally petrified and trying to loosen up my body, we formed a circle on the floor of the big barn studio where we were. As we sat down on the wooden floor, my girlfriend introduced the process, and the person who would get their reading first was chosen. I, along with my first client of the morning, moved into the center of the circle. About 20 sets of eyes were on us, and probably most likely on me, the new anomaly of a psychic who is about to get information for the person before me. As soon as my client asked me her first question, all of my fears evaporated. My fear simply completely disappeared, like a scary mirage gone away. As I began talking, I felt my body settle back into the rhythm it knew. The calm cadence, the certainty of information that was coming in to illuminate my client's quandary, the steadying of my own heart. Fear can be crazy like that. It can hold you in its grip so tightly you can't see anything else but its roaring, hideous face, breathing its hot, toxic breath in your face. It can cause your body to panic. It can whisper terrible things to you, even sometimes just holding possibilities over your head. Possibilities like, what if you fail? Or, in Mary's case, possibilities like, what if you don't ever see your mom again if you don't get on a plane today? Or, what if the plane you're on doesn't make it? Possibilities that feel like they can immobilize you. Here is what you need to know. As I already said once, your intuition does not speak fearese. If you feel frightened, if the possibilities are scaring you, if you feel panicked in any way, that is not, nor will it ever be, the voice of your intuition speaking to you. Your intuition does not ever speak to you in a tone of voice or with threatening possibilities that frighten you, even if it is steering you away from danger. Even then, it will calmly and peacefully, or with a completely neutral tone, tell you which way to go. Fear might show up as you move toward a new experience, as it happened for me in teaching that workshop, but it is never the voice of your inner knowing, your intuition. The fear is not the voice to heed. Sure, I was scared that morning when I was about to teach and do readings in front of a whole group of people. Did that mean that it was the wrong choice or that I should do whatever it took to get out of it? No, absolutely not. Remember when I said that when my girlfriend asked me if I would be open to teaching and doing readings at her workshop, my internal response had been a resounding, calm, and peaceful yes. That's how I knew that even if fear was rearing its ugly head the morning of, and I felt so afraid I might fail or let others down who were counting on me, it was all just baloney. I also knew that if my intuition had guided me this way, it was because I was capable of accomplishing the task. So, what do you do about it? What can you do when your fearful mind is eroding the voice of your intuition or making it impossible for you to hear your inner knowing? That's what we're going to discuss next. But first, let's just all take a deep breath together. Breathe in and breathe out. It's good just to have a moment of space. You are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. I'm your host, psychic and author Aimée Cartier. And today we are continuing our series on busting the myths that hold you back from trusting your inner knowing. Specifically, today we're looking at those moments when the frightening stories in your mind threaten to overrule your inner knowing or your access to it. I've been telling you some stories about this happening so that you can recognize what I'm talking about. Now we're going to talk about what steps to take when your fearful mind is clouding your access to your intuition. First, let me remind you of what I've already said a couple of times. Your inner knowing is calm, certain, unquestionable, but also either peaceful or emotionless in tone, even when what it is telling you will lead to emotion. You have to pay attention at the beginning because sometimes fear will take over. Try to remember how you felt when you first had the thought to do that thing. Fear-based knowing is not calm or neutral. It never is. It always has an edge. Just as a little side note for women, pay attention around your cycle, because these fear-based thoughts can sometimes show up in full force around your cycle. Don't believe them. They are still BS, even if it's your hormones pushing them front and center. So, what do you do when your fearful mind is trying to call the shots? One, first, recognize the tone. Do you feel afraid or worried or panicked or frantic? That is not your wise inner knowing. That is your mammal brain, or maybe your reptilian brain, depending on how close you are to the fight, flight, or freeze. Just notice it. Number two, remind yourself that your fearful mind does not come up with good ideas. Mine hasn't, not even once in my life, come up with a solution that was necessary or worthy. Number three, have compassion for yourself. Understand that it, fearful brain, is doing its job. It's not the frantic mind's fault. It's doing its best to come up with solutions for something that you're trying to solve. Likely something that you don't already know how to do, or maybe have never done, which is waking up the amygdala part of your brain. Number four, ignore it. Do not act on fearful mind's advice. It's always BS. Number five, instead, change the subject. Think about something else. If you need a task, the work to do in these moments is to calm your animal body. That's what I call your human body. Work on calming your body and being. Go for a walk outside. Clean the bathroom. Vacuum the floor. Fold a pile of laundry. Sew a patch on your kid's jeans. Use the time to do something you've been putting off or haven't gotten to for a while. Take a bath. Because the truth is, you don't currently know what to do. And fearful mind isn't going to give you any good ideas on that subject. So the thing to do right now is nothing about that challenge you are trying to solve anyway. Relax your brain, body, and being. That's when the good answers come. Understanding the difference between intuitive knowing and fearful knowing really isn't very hard. It involves you paying attention when the information comes in and noticing the tone it arrives on and watching as you go along. Does fear come up? Okay, that's natural and human. Does that mean it's real or true, or you should act on what it is telling you? Absolutely not. You've got an intuition, I promise. You've got a wise inner knowing, even if the fearful or anxious thoughts are more prominent for you. Do the work, whatever's necessary, to get your body and being calm, and the voice of your intuition will poke through. I've done it. Many, many of my students have done it. You can too. I believe in you. You've got this. If today's info was useful, give me a shout out. You can send me an email through my website, amacartier.com. You can find me on Instagram, or you can leave a review where you see your podcasts. I'm giving you a virtual high five for the next time you recognize the voice of your intuition and be kind to yourself, but ignore the crappy fear talk. Join me next week, where we will close out our series for now on busting the myths that hold you back from trusting and owning your intuition. This is Aimee Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Did you love this episode? I hope so. If you did, could you take a second to like it where you get your podcasts? And a review or a comment would be amazing. I want to hear from you. In the meantime, are you ready to move toward understanding and using your own intuition? You can download my free audio entitled, What is Intuition? How to Tell the Difference Between the Voice of Your Intuition and Your Fear-Based Ideas. Find the link in the show notes. Are you tired of ignoring or not trusting your own inner knowing? Maybe you know that you have an innate power and intuitive skill set, but you don't quite understand it or know how to use it or access it reliably when you need it. Take it from me. You don't need special crystals or oils or a gadget of any kind. To own your intuition, you need a dozen or so practices that will help you manage, hone, and tune in to your wisest knowing on a regular and reliable basis in any situation. If you are ready to harness your own knowing, gain the confidence and experience that will allow you to use your own innate wisdom to positively shape your life as long as you breathe, then join me this September for my Own Your Intuition 7-month program. You can find a link to the details about the class and the application in the show notes or on my website, amyacartier.com. See you soon.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.